Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now beginning the third chapter of Masechet Bava Metzia, Perek HaMafkid, which deals with Shirim. And as I put on the help sheet, the quick introduction to the issue of Shomrim, the various liabilities that depending on the level of Shmirah that they undertake. And so we'll begin right away. Hafkid Eitzel Chaviro Behema Okelim. In the Gemara's first discussion will be why both Behema and Kelim are listed here. But if somebody is Mafkid, either an animal or vessels with another fellow, V'nignavu o she'avdu, and we will now, for now posit that we're talking about a Shomer Chinam, who would be exempt if he were to claim that they were stolen from him, as long as he could take a shvuah to that effect. But he has the choice. Shilaim v'l'ratzali shavah, let's say he did not want to take the oath, and instead he paid for the loss. Shari amru shomer chinam nishba v'yotze. After all, he may indeed take the oath, but he chose Jesus not to. Nimtza ha'ganav, and then we find the ganav. Meshalem tashlume kefel, then he has to pay kefel. Achshua, of course, we dealt with this length in Perek Merubah, that if it was an animal and he slaughtered it, that he have to pay Arba Chamisha, or if he sold it. But the question is, Lamim Shalem, the answer is Lamisha Pigadon Eslo. The Shomer now collects the Knas. In other words, he paid, let's say the animal is worth $100. So the animal is stolen from him, but he doesn't want to take the oath, he pays $100 to the owner. He then becomes the owner of the rights of the animal. So therefore, when the ganav is found and he pays $200, or he slaughtered it, he pays, let's say, $500, that money now comes to the shomer. Now, on the other hand, nishbav lo ratzal shalem, but since he has the right to take the oath, he took the oath, it was stolen, and that's it, he doesn't pay. Nimtza ganav, mishalem tashlum kefel, tashlum machar, tashlum chamisha, mishalem bala pikadon. In that case, the ganav, of course, pays the original owner, because the original owner still has the rights of collection. They were not purchased by the Shomer because the Shomer took an oath instead. First question, as I mentioned, is Lama Leila Mitnei Behema V'Lama Leila Mitnei Kelim. Why does the Mishnah list both Behema and Kelim in this Mishnah? In this Mishnah, specifically about the ability of the Shomer to purchase the rights of Kefel. Tzrichi. We need them both. Why the Tana Behema, if I only mentioned Behema, V'Yameina, Behema Hu D'Maktin Le'Kfeila. It's only in the case of a behema where you get kefel, mishum de nafish tircha liyule v'lafuke. You have to walk the animal in, you have to walk the animal out. You're doing a lot of work for the animal, so therefore you have some more of an investment. So then when you pay for the animal, you've really purchased it, and you now have rights of collection. Well, kelim to nafish tircha, but kelim that you just put in a room and locked it, ema lo makdin le'kefela, perhaps you don't get the rights of kefel when you pay for them. Vitana kelim and vice versa. If we said kelim zav, I mean a kelim who do kamakni like kefela. Why mishum de lo nafish keflayu? Because the kefel is not a lot. What that means is that it can never become more than two times the value. Behema de chitava chomachem shalom tashtum chamisha. Well, the behema could be five times as much. Ema lo makni le kefela. There, I would think that you don't give him the kefel, meaning you don't give him rights of collection, because one thing we're not going to entertain is that you get rights of collection of kefel, but not arba v'chamisha. That would go to the owner. So the answer is, therefore, tzricha, therefore we need both. Now, that's the presentation. There's an inherent problem with it, which is that the notion is that when the owner accepts the money from the shomer, he is bequeathing to him the rights of collection of kefel. So, but a person cannot acquire or give acquisition of something that doesn't exist yet, like the rights of kefel. Even a mayor who famously says you can, such as a tree that has not yet borne fruit, you could sell its fruit, and immediately can go on peril dekel. Because inevitably they're going to come, and we expect them to come. When the owner gives the shomer the animal, who says the animal is going to be stolen at all? And even if it's going to get stolen, who says we're going to find the ganav? Who says we're going to get him to pay? Maybe he'll come and admit that he stole it, and then before Edim come, and then he will be potter from the Knas. So to say that the owner is being makne the rights of collection of Knas when the animal hasn't been stolen yet is really something that even a mayor could not accept. So we have to fix this. So Amar Rav Nasaka Omer Lo Lashchiti Ganei B'Tirtzei V'Tashiti Shalmeni HaParatekunui L'HaParatekunui Alachamei Achshav. So we say that what happens is that when the owner gives the animal to the shomer, what he's effectively saying is, if this animal gets stolen and you decide to pay instead of take the oath, then the animal is yours as of now. So that means there's no problem of davar shelo b'olam because it becomes a retroactive kinyan. So matkif Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera challenges Rava with this because says yachy afilu gizotel v'larotel nami. If that's the case, that when a shomer took an animal and then the animal was shorn, which of course that shearing should go back to the owner, but the animal then got stolen and the shomer paid for it, then the shomer should be able to keep the gizot and vladot because according to this, retroactively he owned the animal from the get-go. The Braita says that he does not own the shearings or its young that give birth, that give birth to. Elamar Bizera, so we have to fix it slightly. So Rabbi Zera says, it's as if when you give the animal for Shmira, you say, if it gets stolen and you decide to pay, then everything is acquired to you retroactively, except for the shearing and young that it may bear. My Pascha, so how can we determine that he's going to accede to this and not that when he said none of this? We're saying it's as if he said it. The answer is, Tama de Milta, Shivcha Data Me'alma Avid Inish Demakni. The assumption is that the default case is that a person is comfortable selling a profit that's going to come externally and is not inherent in the animal. Shivcha de Migufa Lo Avid Inish Demakni, but a Shevach that comes from its own self, like its wool or its young, that a person's not going to be Makna. Now, Ikadam, some people say, Amarava, Nasaka, Omerlok, Shetikaneva, Tirtseva, Tishalmeni, Samuch, Gematakun, Yelach. This second version of Rava is a lot more comfortable because it says, it's as if you say when you give the person the animal, if it gets stolen and you decide to pay me, then it becomes yours just before it was stolen. And therefore, my Binayu, Ikibanayu, Kushit Rab Zera. That, the difference between the two versions of Rava is that the second version avoids the problem of Rab Zera's challenge, which is now the gizot and vladot that happened well before it was stolen, of course wouldn't belong to him anyways, and then the brightness, it's fine. Inami the kaima bagam, but we flip it, and we say according to the second version, if the animal was out in the wandering somewhere and it got stolen from there, then in this second version of Rava's Nusach, the Baal Pikaron would not get it, because just before it was stolen, it was not in his domain, so he can't take possession. But according to the first version, he would take possession because then it kicks back all the way to the moment that he took the pikadon. Okay, the Mishnah said, Shilem v'lo ratza li shava. Let's say he chose to pay and did not want to take an oath. So, Rabbi Yochanan says an interesting halacha here, which is, lo shilem shilem mamash. You don't have to pay. In other words, the shomer does not have to pay to acquire those rights. The minute he says, I'm going to pay, in other words, you take him to court and say, where's the pikadon? He says, it was stolen. He says, okay, you want to swear, you want to pay? He says, I'll pay. The minute he says that, even if he didn't pay, he's already the owner, and if subsequently we find the ganav, then he gets rights to the kefal. Of course, at that point, he does have to pay the keren to the owner. Now, tanan, shilem v'lo ratzali shava, however, our Mishnah says, if he paid, shilem in lo, shilem lo. The only way you get the rights is if you actually pay. But that doesn't work because Ema Seifa, look at the second line, in the second half of the Mishnah, Nishba v'lo ratzal shalem. If he took an oath and didn't want to pay, Tamar lo ratzah, it's only because he refused to pay. Haratzah, pishlo shalem, implying that if he wanted to pay, even if he didn't pay, he still gets the rights. Now the answer is our Mishnah is not going to help us because the implication of the Resha collides with the implication of the Seifa, and we know that one of them is inexact, we don't know which one. So let's see. Tanya Kabatet Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan explicitly. Hasocher para michaviro v'nignava. If a fellow rents a para, and it's stolen v'amar, and in that case, by the way, he'd be potter v'amar halo harenim shalem ve'ini nishba. And the guy says, "I'll pay. I don't want to take the oath." V'harkach nimzagana mishalem tashlum kefil l'socher. He pays kefil to the socher. And what did the socher do? He said, "I want to pay." He didn't pay yet. In other words, all he did was offer to pay. And at that point, he becomes the one who can collect the kefal. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa now goes through a series. He says, Shomer Chinam. Now look at the top of the handout. Shomer Chinam, Kevan Shomer Pashati. The minute a Shomer Chinam says, I was neglectful, which of course makes him Chayav. Maknale Kfela. The kefal now becomes his. In other words, the minute he says, I was neglectful, then we know that that he is going to be Chayav. And what's the reason? He could have just said it was nignav. And the fact that he didn't means that he's admitting to the debt. It's like saying, I'm going to pay. And now the kefil is his. Shomer Sachar, Kevin Shomer Nigneva. So we go down the line. A Shomer Sachar who would be Chayiv Bigneva. But he, instead, he says it was stolen, which means he'd be chayev. He could have said it died, or it broke, or something else, meaning an ones, which he'd be pater. Shoel shomer harin mishalim, but a shoel who says, I'm going to pay, lo makna likfeilu. That statement alone doesn't get it. Why? How he could have exempted himself? He could have said it died in the process of the work that I borrowed it for, which is the only time you're pater as a shoel. That's not a common thing, and therefore we cannot assume that you could have said that and therefore been exempt. Okay. Now, Ikadami, there's another version of our Papa, Shol Nami, Kevin Shamaharin Mishal, Machnelik Fela, why did Batam Patanafshi, Maitam Achmat Malacha? Though we do employ that and say, since Maitam Achmat Malacha is a claim and he didn't make the claim, therefore the minute he says, I'll pay, he's already the owner of the Kefal rights. Now, Amalei Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid turned to Rav Papa, and said, "Hachi Amar Abaye." Quotes Abaye, who was one of the Rabbeim. Shoel ad shi shalem. A shoel is not the collector until he actually pays, not just until he accepts the liability of payment or expresses readiness to pay. Until he actually pays the owner, he does not now have rights of collection of kefal, etc. My taima, ho il v'chol hanashilo, since the case of a shoel is he's getting all the benefit, he's not paying, he gets to use, but dibur alo makna likfeila, he does not have the ability to get kefel just with dibur, he has to actually pay. Tanya kavetet Rav Zvid, we have a brayta that supports Rav Zvid that a shoel needs to pay in order to get those rights. A shoel par micha rabbi nigneva, so a fellow borrowed a para and it was stolen, v'kidei ma shoel v'shileim, and then he initiated, he went ahead and paid. Then the shoel collects. So Leisha Kamen Rav Papa Vada Lo Havetiyufta. That certainly does not contradict Rav Papa's first version, because the first version of Rav Papa has the shoel being different, and unless you actually pay, you don't collect kefil. Leisha Vacha Levetiy Havetiyufta. But is this not a tiyufta, a refutation of Rav Papa's second version, in which a shoel could also, without paying, become the owner of kefil if he expresses a readiness to pay? Our Papa, Mialim Matnitin, our Papa could say as follows. Why is that bright any better than the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Diktani Shilaim Bokhim Bealmar. The Mishnah says he paid, and we said it means he expressed a readiness to pay. Hachanam Bealmar. Same thing in this bright, and it says if he paid, it means he said he'd pay. So, Midami, they're not alike. Hatam Loktani Kidem, and the Mishnah doesn't say Kidem, he initiated. Hachak Tani Kidem, and the bright says he initiated. So, my Kidem Vamar, initiated him, it just means he's, without being asked, he spoke up and said, I'll pay. So when I found the Gabi Socher v'Amar, but in the context of the bright about Socher, it says just he said v'Gabi Shoel Kidem. In the case of Shoel, it says he initiated. Shvamina Davka Ktani. So we can infer that in the case of the Shoel, it really means he paid. So Midi Gabi Adadi Tani. Wait a second, those two aren't in the same brighta. If they're in the same brighta, then you say the distinction between Amar and Kidem tells you that in the case of Shoel, he actually paid. But they're two different brighta. So Shalino the Tanoi de Rabbi Chia with Rabbi Shai Vamri Gabi Adadi Tanyan. But in the students of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shai, who were the experts on all the brayta, they said really they were studied together, which means Shoel he really did have to pay. And it seems that we have rejected Rav Papa's second version in favor of Rav Zvid, or in favor of Rav Papa's first version, that a Shoel cannot get rights to collection of kefel until he pays. Now, Pshita, Amar Haini Mishalim, Mechazav Amar Haini Mishalim, if a fellow says, I'm not going to pay, and then he says, okay, I will pay, and he didn't yet pay, and we found the Ganav, Kavar Mishalim, of course he has the rights, because the last thing he said was, I'm going to pay. But try this, Ela Amar Haini Mishalim, let's say he said, I will pay, Mechazav Amar Haini Mishalim, then he changed his mind. My, what do we do with that? In other words, he said, I'll pay, then he said, I'm not going to pay, and then we found the Ganav. Do we say that when he said, I'm not going to pay, he was really changing his mind? Maybe he was sticking to his original commitment. He was simply was stalling because he didn't have the money. Which, by the way, we saw several times in Bava Kama, and also in Bava Metzia, of somebody who really wants to pay but needs a little more time. So the fellow said, I'll pay. He said, no, I'm not going to pay. Nothing's going to take the oath. Give me some time. So Amar Harein Mishalim Umeid. Let's say the fellow said, I'll pay, that he died before he paid. And the heirs say, we're not going to pay. Do we say that that's really a backtracking? Maybe they are really sticking to their father's commitment. Again, they're trying to stall because they don't have the money. What if, on the other hand, the sons paid? Can the owner say, he could say, I was Makna Kaifel to your father, who was the Shomer. He did me a favor. They did Chulo, but not to you. Maybe it's all the same. Now, backwards, Shilam Labonimai. What if the owner died and the Shomer paid his children? Matsu Amrile, can they say to him, Ki Agnala Chavuna Kfela, Davatale Nechnafshe? Father was Makna Kaifel to you. You did him a favor. You made him feel good. Anali did not know, but we're not Makna, so you didn't do us any favor. Odimoloshna, maybe it's the same as if father was still alive. What if both fathers are out and it's just heirs to heirs? Shila Mechzamai, what if the fellow paid but he only paid half? Does that mean he's indicating he's not going to pay more or he's just partway there? Shal Shtei Parod V'Shila Machatmianmai, what if this is a variation on half, he borrowed two parod and he only paid for one? Shal Min HaShutvin V'Shila Machatmianmai, or he borrowed from two partners and he only paid one of them. Shutvin Shal V'Shila Machatmianmai, or two partners borrowed and only one of them paid. What happens if he borrowed from a woman and he paid her husband? Or if a woman was the shoelet and her husband paid, then and it's all really one large question, which is, what is the parameter of Haknat Kefel? And the answer to all of these questions is, take you. So we will leave it. The question stands. None of these questions are answered. And we will pick this up in Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast at Amar Rav Huna and take us to the second Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Bet. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.